Right, I just need to get a prop before I begin. Okay, so I'm going to be talking in two different parts about something that is connected. But before I start, I'm actually going to play you something. Now, some of you may know this song, some of you may don't, but it's not. Don't worry too much whether you do or you don't. It doesn't matter. And don't worry if you agree with every bit of the lyrics either. But there's a good point in this song, and I hope you can pick it up.
They say sometimes you win some, sometimes you lose some. And right now I'm losing bad. I've stood on this stage night after night, reminding the broken it'll be alright. But right now, oh, right now, I just can't. It's easy to sing when there's nothing to bring me down. But what will I say when I'm held to the flame like I am right now? They say it only takes a little faith to move a mountain. Well, good thing a little faith is all I had right now. God, when you choose to leave mountains unmovable, oh, give me the strength to be it is well with my soul. I know you're able and I know you can save through the fire with your mighty hand. But even if you don't, my hope is you alone. I know the sorrow and I know the hurt would all go away if you just say the word. Jesus, I will cling to you, come what may, 'cause I know you're able, I know. It is well with my soul.
Yes, I don't know how easy or how hard that was for you to read or to sing or to feel. But I'm going to ask you a Bible question. Does that song remind you of a particular story in the Bible? Job? Oh, it could definitely be Job. It could definitely be Job. Yep. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, yes. Gideon. Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, God did save him, but he might not have done. But that would have been... what about Jesus? So we're just going to actually go back to the story of Daniel, and I'm just going to read some of the key verses. But just to summarize, there was a king called King Nebuchadnezzar, and he built a golden statue for the people to worship. But there were some Jewish people in the kingdom, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they served the God of Israel, and there was no way that they were going to bow down to this golden idol. So the law of the land was that if you didn't do this, then you would be put to death. So let's read what happened. So I'm reading from Daniel 3. If you want to find it in your Bibles, you can. And I'm going to look at verses 16 to 18 to start with. I'll just give you a moment to look for it in the Bible if you want. There's going to be quite a bit of Bible in this, but that's good because we love the Bible. Okay, you can put your hand up when you find it, and then I'll start. Sorry, no, it's Daniel 3, verses 16 to 18 to start with. Okay. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, "Oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up." So if you just read back into, "And he will rescue us from your hand, O king." If the men had have died in that furnace, would that still be true? Yes, it would still be true. God would still have rescued them, even if it was through death. Then we look at what happened in verse 28, and this is the king's response. He's so astounded by the faith. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, "Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own God." Wow, that's pretty impressive. You know, the church today in lots of different countries, it's a church that grows under persecution, which means that to be a Christian, it might be a crime, or you might get some kind of horrible things happen to you as a result. So what do you think persecution looks like today? Just shout out some answers, that's fine. You could... Being put in prison? Fired from your job? Being executed? Told not to wear jewellery? Yep, that actually has happened to you. Being expelled from your country and becoming an asylum or refugee. Being bullied. Isolated. Okay, that's quite a lot of good answers. So in the early church, this was actually just normal and expected. And it started with Jesus having to be put on the cross for what he said and what he believed in. So there's been pain and suffering in the whole of the church's history. So we're going to, people have died for Jesus, but it's not the end, is it? Death is not, doesn't accomplish what you think it might. I'm going to take you to another passage in the Bible, which I'd like you to look at if you can, and if you can read, please get someone with you to show you where it is in the Bible. So it's Gospel of John, John 21, verse 19. Just give you a little bit of time to read it. Find it. Thank you, Alex. So, can anyone tell me who Peter was? Who was Peter? One of Jesus' disciples, yeah? What do you know about Peter? Just shout out anything. He denied Jesus? Someone else? He spoke without thinking. Yep. He walked on water. Yeah, well, they're brilliant answers. He was a fisherman. So, what's that? A Jew? That's right, he was a Jew. So we've already discovered that for some Christians, to be a Christian, it means giving up your life. Now, on one hand, you had Jesus in the Gospels, telling you that you could raise the dead, which we're going to look at in a minute. You can raise the dead. But he also predicts and tells Peter how he's going to die. So you've got two truths there. He resurrects the dead and he's predicting death at the same time. So let's read John 21, verse 19. Actually, it's verse 18. Let's see. Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. I tell you the truth. When you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." People's agony and suffering for Jesus is never done in vain. And these people who've risked their life to the point of a trigger being pulled or something, they're not ashamed of Jesus to the very end. They're not ashamed of his gospel because they know that it's good news for the people, for everyone, for the people who are actually killing them. It's good news. It's hope. It's this wonderful thing. The gospel means good news. So they have this wonderful message to give to people, but people will kill them for it. But they're prepared to die to still give that message. So our lives, we're on a journey, aren't we? And every day, we mustn't take it for granted, every day is a gift from God, where the grace of God can meet us in that day. But we're also, just remember, we're part of a multitude of hundreds of thousands of millions of people that have gone before us. And they're waiting for us. You know, we have these brothers and sisters around the world who are enduring suffering now, and we have those that have gone before, and we're part of their family. Let us remember them. So, what kind of things? We're all acquainted with suffering in some kind, suffering for being a Christian, but we're all acquainted with suffering, aren't we? What kind of things do we suffer in the UK? What do you see around you? What are the suffering do you see around you? Violence? Injustice? Pardon? Illness? Yeah. Poverty? That's right. Premature death? Mental illness? Massive. Addiction? Suicide? And we cry out to God for help, and sometimes we see the answers that we expect to see, and sometimes we don't, do we? We don't see the answers that we want to see. Prostitution, yeah. Do we have the same attitude, though, as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Of even if, I want you to fill in the blanks. Think of a situation in your life, and we all have probably one, or at least two, or three. Even if this happens, God, I will still choose to follow you till the end. Just give you a moment to think about that. The Lord promises to be with you. He doesn't promise that you won't have suffering, though, does he? But he promises that he'll be with you. So now I'm just going to read Psalm 23, but I'm going to read it very slowly. And as you come to each line, I want you to picture your real life as it is now, whatever's going on. And each piece of the line, I want you to imagine you and your situation or your family situation in that. Because God promises to be with you. He definitely does that. So let's go to Psalm 23. And I'm going to read it slow so you can ponder each verse. If you want to close your eyes, that's absolutely fine. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Just picture whatever situation you're in, how God might already be comforting you that you maybe not noticed before. You You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Wow. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I want you to look at the two jugs on the table now. And I want you to imagine that you are this cup. And Jesus is the water of life. And he filled you up. But he doesn't just fill you up, does he? This is what he wants for you. Please don't break. That's what he wants for you. In him is fullness of life. He wants you to be immersed in him. I'm now going to talk about something connected, but on a slightly different note. Where are we in our life? Are we at the beginning? The middle? Near the end? A friend of mine and Louise's died last week, and my mum went and visited their church, and the title of the sermon that he was preaching was How to Die Well. Because how to live well and how to die well are not actually that different. Mr. Wilkie, he was someone who helped our family when we used to live on Thorpe Edge, and helped us financially and practically. He took us on holiday. He'd come and sort out my mum and dad's, come and sort them out when they had marriage problems. I'd not seen him for some years, but he's always my brother. And I spoke to his wife, and she said, there's a do not resuscitate on Raymond. Because, he's ready, he wants to go meet Jesus. His whole life has been geared toward this moment. So the family didn't want any prayers of healing in this side of life, if that makes sense. He got his affairs in order and had all his family around him when he died. Jesus grieves as well. On the one hand, as I've already mentioned, Jesus raised the dead. But I want us to look a little bit at the death and resurrection of Lazarus, just to explore the all-important humanness of Jesus, because you must understand that he really lived as one of us. He was God, but he really understands what it is to be human. So we're going to look at this story. So if you want to find in your Bibles, John 11. So that's the New Testament, John's Gospel. Please ask someone near you if you are unsure of what to do. So just to give you a bit of background, Mary and Martha were two sisters, and they had a brother called Lazarus, and they were actual friends of Jesus. And word is sent to Jesus while he's doing something else, that he's, Lazarus is dying, but if he comes, he could stop his death. But Jesus knows what his father has told him, that not yet. So Jesus comes, and so we're going to start reading from verse 17 to start with. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him. But Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." And then I want us to go to verse 32. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. And this is just the most amazing two words. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." Had Jesus forgotten about Lazarus? No, he hadn't. What do you think of when you read those two words, "Jesus wept"? How does that make you feel? He has compassion. Yeah. He has emotions. Well, he loved him. Yeah, he did. So later on, Jesus does go on to raise him from the dead, and as a result, you know, people are astounded by what has happened and people come to faith. But as far as I know, Lazarus would have died again. That's what I understand, because it doesn't say that he didn't. So Jesus, on the one hand, wants us to pray. He gives us loads of things to pray for. But on the other hand, you have the other truths of this as well. So we're going to look at Ecclesiastes. It's often read at funerals, this is, but it's not just for funerals. It's just there for us to read when we want to. So we live alongside two truths. God brings life, but allows us to die. Jesus mourns, but he resurrects. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh. a time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones, and a time to gather them. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain. A time to search, and a time to give up. A time to keep, and a time to throw away. A time to tear, and a time to mend. A time to be silent, and a time to speak. A time to love, and a time to hate. A time for war, and a time for peace. What does the worker gain from his toil? I have seen the burden God has laid on men. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the hearts of men. Yet they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. I know that there is nothing better for men than to be happy and do good while they live, that everyone may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all his toil. This is the gift of God. I know that everything God does will endure forever. For Christians, death is not the end. It's actually a beginning of something. For those who love Jesus and believe in his promises, death has no sting. There's two very famous passages. So the first one I'd like you to look at is the New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verses 55. You know, one thing the world is frightened of is death, but as Christians, we don't even have to be frightened of the world's greatest fear. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? In Romans, also in the New Testament, in Romans 8, if you just want to look a little bit before Corinthians, in Romans 8, verses 38 to 39, it says something amazing. I'll just give you a moment to find it. Verses 38. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is our hope now, and it's also our hope for the future, for eternity. I know we've been talking about death, but it doesn't mean the same thing to us as what it does to people who don't have the faith. I hope that I've encouraged you, not depressed you, because I want you to reflect what I see, and what does the Bible have to say about it? And the Bible gives us hope in every situation, even in suffering and even in death. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, Father God, you are the beginning and the end, the creator of the universe. And only you are worthy of our worship. you are righteous, you are good all the time, and all the time you are good, despite our circumstances, despite what happens to us. It doesn't change who you are and your promises over our life. Thank you, God, that we can be real with you and we can say, like the psalmist did, every little thing about how we feel, all our insecurities, all our doubts, all our questions, all our murmurings, all our pain, all our rejoicing. Lord Jesus, you are in it all. Our lives belong to you. In no safer place could they be. Praise your holy name. Amen.